Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
From the studios of WAMC in Albany, New York, in the heart of the multicultural and lively Central Avenue Entertainment District, this is The Media Project. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union, here with Ira Fussfeld, longtime publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York.
I must have made a wrong turn. Is that where I wound up?
Sound good. And Dr. Alan Chartok, CEO of Northeast Public Radio. Professor.
Oh, hello, hello.
There you are. Yes, come step right up to the microphone.
I'm George Colonnet. Hello.
Hello. It's the professor, the publisher, and the editor for The Media Project this week. Yes, it's a lively scene outside the studios of WAMC.
It's always
you never
very
know what
eclectic.
You're going to get.
Yes, always very eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
People standing around and happy to say hello to you as you walk by. And
rolling cigarettes.
So yes, that's right. It's amazing how tobacco appears these days. Okay, so the big media story that we need to deal with, of course, we know the Donald Sterling scandal involving the LA Clippers. What is interesting from a media standpoint is that the scoop actually came from the website TMZ, which is, you know, struggling for legitimacy as a news organization. It's basically an outfit that began shooting as a paparazzi.
They just do
celebrity stuff.
It's amazing how they sort of develop from infancy into a different kind of place.
So here's a question. Mr. Sterling spoke these highly objectionable words in a private setting, in what he thought was a private conversation. How do you feel about plastering those private comments all over our front pages and slipping them across the top of our websites?
Well, I think everybody who has ever been on a telephone now realizes that you're not alone or that you're potentially not alone. I worked for a congressman who did end up in prison, but who used to start a conversation quite often with a disrespectful salute to J. Edgar Hoover. He would say, J. Edgar Hoover, take that. And that was a long time ago. But now with NSA and everything else, it's best not to say it. But we're human beings, and when we try out ideas, some of which come out the wrong way, believe me, you can always worry about somebody grabbing what you have to say.
And is that ethical on the part of journalists?
Well, it depends on how you get it. It depends on whether you've paid for it. When the commissioner had his press conference, commissioner of the NBA, and somebody asked about whether they were concerned about these being private comments, and he said, well, they're public now. I mean, once they get out, it's hard to ignore the news value of them. But, you know, there are just so many sleazy people involved here, starting with Sterling, naturally. The so-called mistress is admitting that she, in fact, did record the conversation, which speaks to why. But she denies that she is the source for the conversation going to TMZ.
But she thinks she knows.
She thinks she knows, and she thinks there was money involved. That would be some surprise. You know, as far as TMZ is concerned, they have made a cottage industry of not only breaking a lot of these kinds of stories, but being very accurate in breaking
cottage
these
industry.
Stories.
I think they've made a palace out of
it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this, you know, this guy Harvey Levin, who runs that organization, is a lawyer. He was in Los Angeles TV for years as a consumer lawyer kind of an analyst and wound up inventing this thing. I mean, you recall when Michael Jackson died, they were the first to report it, and their source was, I believe, a nurse in the emergency room. I mean, they've got people all over the place, and or they've got people thinking of them as the place, oh, well, let's call TMZ. We won't call the Los Angeles Times first. We'll call TMZ first.
But nowadays, given the viral nature of the media, something can go from TMZ or Deadspin, sure, these sites like that, to big news organizations. ESPN, the LA Times, picked it up right away, and it's off. Then it's gone.
Rex, I have to say that I'm a little angry at both of you for change. I truly think that this is disgraceful, that everybody who's ever been on a telephone is now subjected to this kind of stuff. This is your private life. And some of the people who are the most concerned about privacy are also the people who are saying, well, it's out now. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't like it. And I don't think anybody else who is listening to this program should like it, aside from the fact that the guy's a jerk.
Yes. I mean, well, I don't like it either. But the question I would have is, once it does get out there,
but
then
that's
what?
Self-justification, isn't it? I mean, you guys are the quintessential news guys, and you say, well, you know, we don't like it intellectually, but it's here, it's in the open now, so therefore we can use it.
Well, so you're right. So we shouldn't be talking about this on WAMC, because public radio is above all of this kind of thing. Alan, you're right.
Well,
you've avoided this story all along, haven't you? So let's not talk about this anymore, Rexy.
This is the media project, and therefore we are talking about issues for the media. We have, of course, covered the story, and I have made the point that I'm making this morning. I made this point before.
Aha. Well, that justifies it then.
But let's just take it step by step. The report gets out there, and the tape is played, and we will all agree that we're not happy a private conversation could be exposed.
Crocodile tears,
okay,
my friend.
So my newspaper decides we don't like the fact that this story is out there because of what it is. We're not going to report it. But everybody else is reporting it, and not only is everybody else reporting it, but it actually creates a circumstance where the commissioner of the basketball league bans this guy from life. I mean, at some point in time, we're going to have to report it, including the conversation, because it's news.
And it's news in part because people pay attention to it. I mean, there's an interesting point that was made last week by Ben Smith, the editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Now, Ben Smith used to be a straight news reporter. He began at the New York Daily News, basically created the culture of the political website in New York State. His dad, you know, is a judge of the New York State Court of Appeals. Ben Smith now says on BuzzFeed, which specializes in listicles.
They have a list for everything.
A list for everything. Yeah. He says, good stories get a lot of readers. That's true across journalism and history, but more people care about entertainment. A great Beyoncé story will get more attention than anything else.
Well, he's right. Here's what I think. I don't have any doubt that it's going to be on our air, it's going to be in your newspapers, but I do think that there should be, on the part of law enforcement people, some accountability for the people who did it. Now, I do remember vaguely, and you guys have much better minds than mine, but I do remember vaguely that in the past, there has been some outing when major stories were taken off telephones. And I know that there have been times when people who have been on the telephone, the dress and the semen stain
on
the dress and Monica, there were times that people were held accountable and actually, I believe, indicted.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I wouldn't want there is none of us here and none of the people listening to this program who have said things on the telephone who we would not want to be out in public. I'd like to hope that it's not as serious as what this guy Sterling said, but it is of concern. So there is that issue to this. But the issue that we're raising for the media project is, once this gets out there, is it fair game to report? And I would argue that it is, because what this was all about.
Okay, let's assume you're right for a second. But I'm arguing that you would probably not have had that opportunity if there was widespread belief that if you did this kind of thing and you committed what is against the law, you would be held responsible.
Nothing against the law here. In recording somebody's conversation and using it, I don't think there's anything.
I think there is in some states, and in California, I think, is one of those states.
But in any case, our using it is, of course, not against the law. And
you wash your hands of it, and you say, oh, well, somebody else stole it and gave it to us, and so that therefore
actually,
it's okay that we're doing it.
Legally, that's not the case. In fact, for us, I mean, I guess guess it is in certain cases. But if, for example, somebody has gone into an email system, a private email system, and pulled something out at our urging, even, and if it can be shown that it was at our urging, we are responsible for that theft. And so we can't do that. But that's a different thing from somebody on their own turning over a recording. It becomes a pretty thin line there in legality.
If one of your reporters on the radio called up someone wanting to put them on the air, do they not first say, I'm going to put you on the air?
They have to.
They have to.
They have to. You could lose your license.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, if you want to join this conversation, you can send us a message, media@wamc.org, and we will hope to make use of it. This is the Media Project from WAMC. Alan Shartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Rex Smith here, the professor, the publisher, and the editor. And speaking of lively topics, there is a question as to there are two questions in the topic that we're about to address here. First, a story suggesting that Fox News shoved Shepard Smith back into the closet, as the story on Gawker put it. That is, the noted Fox News anchor Shepard Smith supposedly was going to come out as gay, but Roger Ailes, the president of Fox News, told him, you can't do that. Roger just said no, quote unquote. A Fox insider, is the attribution, told Gawker. Two questions, I think. Is Ailes a jerk as the head of a network for behaving this way, for telling his anchor, you can't come out, if true? And was Gawker bad for thus outing Shepard Smith, who in fact has not publicly said, I'm gay?
Well, the whole outing thing, Rex, is always fascinating to me. People out others for a lot of different reasons. I mean, we know that gay people who think that somebody is outrageous have outed people just because it's punitive. Say, okay, if you're going to be that way, we're going to out you because you're gay. I've never liked that. I've always hated that. But, you know, there are always people who believe that the ends justify the means. That's what they do. As for Ailes, I have no use for Roger Ailes.
Well, I didn't know anything about Shepard Smith, and I barely have ever seen him on the air, although I take it he's considered one of their best people. And I was aware that they moved him out of primetime with great fanfare to an earlier time in the day, but that coincided with them spending a huge amount of money for this new modern studio that I don't even remember what they call, but they have a big name for it. So it didn't dawn on me that there may have been a reason other than just ratings or the normal kind of business decisions. So in my view, if Gawker has outed this guy and he has not yet outed himself, I don't care for that. If the reason they're doing it is because they see a story about Roger Ailes and he becomes sort of secondary to that piece of the story, I guess I can see it a little bit. But I wish I had more people on attribution, sort of direct quotes on this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all do, no question. But, Ira, do you think sexual orientation, and think hard before you answer this question, do you think sexual orientation is an appropriate news question?
The answer in my mind is no, but with an asterisk. It's if this story is true as it is presented, it's an interesting insight into how Roger Ailes and the conservative Fox News organization is thinking that the fact that they have allegedly a gay anchorman is so significant to them that they shifted him out of prime time. And they're very sensitive to, presumably, what that means to their audience.
So it's good kudos to Rex for having raised this issue with us. But how come every time we get a sports figure who announces, I'm the first gay baseball player, I'm the first gay basketball player, I'm the first this and that, that we make big news out of it? Isn't that sexual orientation?
But it remains a big issue in society when people who are not granted equal rights. You know, we kind of live in a bubble here in the Northeast.
Right.
We certainly seem to have a much easier approach than a lot of the country does. It's not a big deal for somebody to be gay in this part of the country.
So,
you know?
Is what you're saying, back to my original question, which is, if it's a positive thing, so that, you know, the first gay basketball player, the first gay baseball player, whatever, that's okay. But if it's one of the scurrilous kind of things in which, you know, somebody is outed against their will, then it's a bad thing.
Somebody being outed against their will is, I think, bad, because what a person's personal life is about, whether it's their sexual orientation or many other things, really there are elements to what ought to remain personal. One of the interesting elements of this, I think, is the degree to which these big anchors are controlled, in fact, by their employers. What they say, what they do, how they appear.
We talked about David Gregory, a perfect example.
Exactly.
I say, okay, we want to do a psychological profile. We read last week.
Well, Yes, if that's true.
They deny it.
He flatly denies that it was that. I mean, he says they're branding consultants.
Sure.
So that's a different way of looking at it. Yeah. You know, the more interesting example of this, I think, is that this is just a way in which Fox News controls the message in so many ways. I mean, here we have another story about a Scientific American editor who was asked to appear on Fox and Friends, one of their key programs, a morning show. And he was supposed to talk about trends for the future. And he said, well, the number one trend for the future would be the impact of climate change. Mm. He says, no, Fox News producer says, choose another topic.
Sure.
Because, you know, a lot of the Fox News audience is still convinced that there is no such thing as climate change.
I think sometimes, and I include us in that number, that we are overreacting to what is going on at Fox News and at MSNBC and in CNN. As we've said on this program before, they have a relatively small number of people who watch them in the big picture. I mean, I'll watch Howard Kurtz's media show on Sunday, and he will be talking about how is the media covering something. And he'll then show clips from MSNBC, CNN, and... Huh. Fox. Well, that's a part of the media. Where are the other examples?
Right.
And it's easy to do. They're on the air. They're personalities. We all sort of talk about them. But I do think that they have a disproportionate amount of interest from all of us who analyze
good
this.
Good point.
Oh, you think it's a good point. I don't. I think...
You know, it was better last week. Alan wasn't in the room. He was
I think Fox is a corral, which corrals a certain segment of American society. And that's why it's very important.
But do you remember
I'm not quite through yet.
Well, okay, but I'm going to interrupt. Do you remember the survey I read on this air a few months ago that said that since Fox News had become prominent, the Republicans / conservatives on the national election scale were actually doing worse than before they were.
That's right.
But no. But you see, it is a place which, if you watch it, you watch a Roger Ailes and his approach to what his audience wants to hear and what's dangerous and what we're going to give them and what we're not going to give them. That's why it's important to watch what they're doing. I don't disagree with you that, you know, the cable people don't have the same audience that the big people do, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC. But I do think if we're doing a sociological examination, if we're truly looking at the way in which journalism has been segmented, then it's important to look at Fox.
But I think the two press guys here could argue that there have been that kind of journalism to a certain extent in print for as long as there's been print. But ten wrongs make a right?
No, you know, you guys always resort to that in the end.
I'm just saying that this is the current manifestation of it. There's nothing new here. There's nothing wrong. I was in a minority. Unfortunately, Rex wasn't here to help defend me. But I still think that the biggest scandal in cable news is the way that CNN has made itself a laughingstock in the way it covered this plane crash.
Oh, my God. I agree with you. It's outrageous.
I don't agree with either of you on this.
It's preposterous. The wall-to-wall coverage with nothing new to report.
They blew their brand.
They blew up their brand. They did not. They did a demographic survey. They know what their people are listening to and are interested in. Their ratings go up, their viewership goes up, they do it.
So put naked women on the front page, you know, that'll draw a lot of attention too.
But why didn't the other news organizations, print and broadcast, cover that story with the same zeal?
Because, Ira, they owned it.
They owned it. Well,
and because they owned it, it became theirs. It was successful for them. Is this the appropriate term, sort of dog in the manger? I mean, what is it that is getting you so upset about this?
I think that CNN had established itself as the voice of sanity in the morass of the other two cable news networks, that you could go to CNN for all of its failings, and there were certainly some, because when you do live news, you're going to overreact. I mean, the Boston Marathon stuff that Jon Stewart reported was laughable, how CNN, the live broadcast, covers it. But to continue to have this story on day after day after day when there's nothing to report just seems to me to be saying, sorry, we're not journalists.
You know, I have to take some umbrage for this. In our little area here, you know, seven American states that get this radio program, as well as all of the places like Nacogdoches, if they still do, there is a small regional hospital in North Adams, Massachusetts, which went bankrupt, leaving people without a hospital and major health care, you know, within the required 4 minutes of your heart attack, which is the older you get, the more interested, you know, you are in this. This has become front page stuff for that newspaper virtually for the Berkshire Eagle mm-hmm. every day because it's so important to people. They define it,
because
not you.
It's important, not just because it's salacious. Well, you know, what's important about, now, of course, 237 people died when this jet
important.
Disappeared. That's very interesting. It's important, but is it important that a national, an international network makes it round-the-clock coverage when they have nothing new to report? I would bet that the Berkshire Eagle's reporting, which you're talking about,
yes, so always has something
North
that,
Adams Hospital, yeah. has news in it.
Yes,
that's all we're saying.
You say nothing to report, but the fact is, and why? Every one of us who has ever been on a plane, you just came back from San Francisco.
Houston.
What? From Houston.
It's
I'm so
close,
sorry.
You know.
So sorry. Houston. you just came back from Houston, and you mean when you got on that plane, it never flew through your mind? Maybe this plane is going to end up somewhere it shouldn't? I mean, based on this, I think that's why everybody projects themselves into that story, and I think that's why it's a terribly important story.
They are giving it to this day a disproportionate sense of importance because of the lack of news content from the where the story broke. The newspapers and the broadcast networks have not stopped covering this story, but it's on page 14 and the next to the last story in the half-hour newscast.
Well,
and essentially they're saying there's nothing new, but we're still aware that this plane is missing.
As we speak this morning, they've announced that they're calling off on the top of the ocean searches and the airplanes, and they're just going to do the submersible and the rest. That's an advancement in the story.
Absolutely right, okay, but is it the lead story and worth another 10 hours on CNN?
It is if the people want it.
No.
So speaking of important stories, the American presidential race we turn to, there's an interesting story in the May-June issue of Politico magazine. Now, Politico, you remember, is this fabulous website that has been focusing entirely on political news based in Washington for the past 5 years, now has kicked off a New York State version. But an article by Glenn Thrush and Maggie Haberman says, "What is Hillary Clinton afraid of?" makes the point that if she doesn't run for president, quote, "the single biggest factor holding her back will be the media," according to an informal survey of 36 friends, allies, and former aides. As much as anything else, her ambivalence about the race, they told us, this is political reporting, it reflects her distaste for and apprehension of a rapacious, shallow, and sometimes outright sexist national political press corps acting as enablers for her enemies on the right.
Well, she's right.
Except for the last part. There are some elements of the news who may be enablers for her enemies on the right, but I wouldn't say that is
she said
universal.
It was she said it was a vast political conspiracy against her husband, and she was right about that, too. What are you talking about? Of course she's right.
There may well have been a conspiracy. I don't know how vast it was.
What, you think these people who are so incredibly mean about Obama and, you know, who really, I think, have racist tendencies and all the rest of it, aren't after him for the same reasons they're going to be after her, because they want the power?
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying it's not universal.
Well, what is universal? Everybody?
Yeah.
Too
many people fall into the trap of blaming the media when the media is...
Come on,
websites, newspapers, blogs, radio stations, public radio stations, commercials, radio. I mean, go on and on.
Okay,
We're not of a single.
Of course not. Don't beat that horse. The horse is neighing already. Don't beat that horse. I'm telling you now that she is going to be insulted every way up and down that anybody can be insulted. They're already doing it in the New York Post and these other disgusting places. And they'll try to cut her any way they can.
And you don't think that is the same treatment that others get? Don't you think that every politician feels as though they are targeted by the media?
Rex, I wouldn't want to be running for president.
I wouldn't either.
And I think that the basis of the story is probably true, although I love the idea that they're polling her friends to mm-hmm. find out what her friends think, because in the end, it's only her.
How else are you going to find a story if you don't do it? I mean, think of the greatest profile probably ever written in a magazine was 50 years ago. Gay Talese wrote, "Frank Sinatra has a cold," in Esquire magazine. It was a great example of what was then called the new journalism, where Frank Sinatra wouldn't talk to him, and he had to write a profile, and he wrote all the way around him. It was a brilliant piece of work. And perhaps this is as well. There's no other way to get the story if your principal doesn't talk to you. Right?
That's right. And of course, Rex, if people want to write to us, how do they do it?
media@wamc.org. And we're always happy to hear from you folks. The publisher, the professor, and the editor, that would be Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok, and Rex Smith. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you next week on The Media Project.
Crime and gore, ding-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember Mrs. Mrs. Sadie Smuggery. She wanted money to buy a new fur coat. To get insurance, she employed skullduggery. She up and cut her husband's only throat. She chopped him into fragments, she stuffed him in a trunk. She shipped it all back yonder to her uncle in Podunk. Now newspaper men meet such interesting people. It must have startled poor old Sadie's unk. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, city desk, hold the press, hold the press.